Please open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and in just a moment I'll read to you verses 1 and 2. In another place, Paul says that the ascended Lord Jesus Christ gave to his beloved church pastors and teachers. And you already know what I'm going to tell you right now. Scott Edberg is Christ's love gift to this congregation. Because he loves his church, Christ gives them pastors and teachers, and because he loves you, he sent Scott to be with you. I want to just say what I think you already know, that Scott is a remarkable young man. He served with me for 3 years while he studied at Reformed Seminary, and for all intents and purposes, he served as my associate pastor. I have to travel a lot. Whenever I left, I was completely at ease, and so was my congregation, leaving Scott to care for them. He visited people in their homes, in the hospitals. Wherever people were, Scott was there to minister the Word of God to them. There's not a thing I did as a pastor, other than perhaps the wedding service, that Scott did not do while he was with me, and he is sorely missed by a congregation that loved him very much. And you've also come to see that Marissa brings to you a mature wisdom, a stability, how she enriched the young women of our congregation by the words that she spoke and by the life that she lived. And we miss you too. Well, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 2. Hear God's word. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Here ends the scripture lesson. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The commandment is preach. Paul told Timothy, the young pastor in Ephesus, that his principal work in that great city was to preach. And it's Randy's or Dr. Thompson's principal work here, and it's also Scott's principal work. They are to preach. To preach means to herald the news of the king. In the ancient world, if a city was surrounded by an army, the king of that army would send his messenger, his herald, to the city and command them to lay down their arms and to accept his terms. God sends preachers into the world to proclaim his message, to tell rebel sinners that God has commanded them to lay down their hostility to him and to accept his terms, repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Your preachers must preach. So this evening, as we think about this text, I want you to consider three things that your preachers must know and that you must know. First, you must know what to preach. Paul tells us, preach the word. Preach the word of God. Why? Because when ministers preach the gospel of God, they offer Christ to sinners to be received as Savior. As we rest in him, our sins are atoned for, and we are declared righteous in the sight of God. Every time we preach the word, we offer to men and women Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. You must know, your pastors must know, that they must preach the word. In another place, Paul tells a congregation, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. We preach not ourselves. What do people hear when they hear your congregation talking about itself? Do they hear about your achievements, your trials, your occupations, your complaints about life? What does Tuscumbia hear when they hear First Presbyterian Church talking about itself? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they didn't hear you talking about yourself, but talking about Jesus? It would be great if in Tuscumbia, Alabama, when there's conversations going where none of you are present, they were saying things like this. You know, that church, they're a little old-fashioned. Their doctrines, we're having a hard time understanding. And they seem to be committed to a way of worship that's not kept up with the times. But you know, when I think about First Presbyterian Church in Tuscumbia, Alabama, what I know they're always talking about is Jesus. What they're always talking about is Jesus. And what they think is most precious, most important, the most cherished thing in their lives is their relationship with Jesus Christ. We're told here to preach the word. You make sure that in Tuscumbia, Alabama, when people hear you talking, they know that you're talking about Jesus that is offered to sinners each time the word is preached. So there are three things in this passage that your preachers must know and you must know. First of all, you must know what to preach. You must preach the word. And then next, you must know when to preach. And Paul tells us when we must be preaching. He says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. When do you preach? Well, you preach in season. When do you preach? Well, you preach out of season. What does that mean? When the word is proclaimed, people are being converted, people are excited about the gospel, you're looking around and they're transformed lives, what's the preacher supposed to do? Keep right on preaching the word. When you proclaim the word and no one wants to hear, they're hardened against it. They dig in their heels against the doctrines of Scripture and the lifestyle it commands. That's when the gospel's gone out of season. What's the preacher supposed to do, and what are you to expect? That they go right on preaching the word. In season, out of season. In season, when the preacher doesn't feel like preaching the word, he's supposed to go on preaching. When he's facing trials in his own family, struggling with temptation and affliction, what's he supposed to be doing? When he's out of season, he's to go right on preaching the word. And what's he to do when he's seeing people respond to the word preached, embracing Christ, finding in him salvation and strength to live a holy life? What's he supposed to do? Go right on preaching. The Apostle Paul is saying to all that preach that the minister 24/7 must be ready to preach the word of God. We're talking about preaching. Three things you need to know about preaching. Your preachers must know, and you must know what must be preached. We must preach the word. And then we must know when to preach. We're to preach in season and out of season. And then we must know how to preach. We find that at the end of verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, here's how you preach. When you preach, you reprove, you rebuke, and you exhort. Reprove. You must expect your pastors, and I know they already know how to do this, you must expect them to be able to stand up and to correct erroneous doctrine. You must expect them to defend the faith, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in them. You've got to expect that out of your pastors. And I know you, in this congregation, that's what you're getting from them. And you must also expect from your pastor that they be able to repudiate immoral lifestyles. Scandalous doctrine, scandalous behavior. The pastor must know how to reprove both. He must know how to preach. He reproves, and then we're told here, he rebukes. That's when the pastor becomes very, very specific. He's in someone's home, and he's carried the ministry of the word into that home. And he's looking at a man, and he's saying, if you can't learn how to control your anger, you're going to lose your job. That's what it means to rebuke. To be able to say to a woman, your discontentment, your chronic dissatisfaction with life, your lack of trust in the Lord, it's like a cancer that's eating away at your soul, and it'll destroy your family. You've got to turn from that sin of discontentment. That's what it means to be able to rebuke. You've got to be able to look at a young man and young woman. One's a believer and one's not, yet they want to be married. You've got to be able to say to them, I call upon you in the name of Christ to end this relationship. If you don't, you're going to bring years of heartbreak and sorrow to yourself, to your family, and to your congregation. The pastor must know how to preach, to reprove, and to rebuke, and next, to exhort. Exhortation. This should be the bulk of the pastor's work, to declare the right way of living. We've talked about sin in very dark terms, but we as pastors, we must be able to paint a picture of the attractiveness of the Christian life. The wonderful life that we live when we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That the righteous life, live under the authority of God's word, it's a beautiful life. It's a life of peace and love and joy. We want to make the Christian way of life as attractive as possible. And that's what pastors do when they exhort well. They must know how to preach, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And Paul adds, they must do those reproving, rebuking, and exhortation. They must do that with patience. The pastor knows how much patience the Lord has shown him in his own life. As he sought holiness, he's taken those two steps forward and one back. The knows the crushing disappointment of failing the Lord. Pastors know that. They know the Lord's been patient with them. And now they want to be patient with the congregation that they serve. They preach patiently. I remember Jim Boyce saying one time that we overestimate what God will do in 2 years, but we underestimate what God will do in 20 years. And you want to be in here for the long view, thinking about not what God is just going to accomplish in the next year or two, but what your congregation is going to be like 20 years from now as it's remained faithful to the proclamation of the word. And so the pastor is to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and do that with patience. And he's also, Paul tells us, to do that with teaching. He's to be confident in the word, confident that the word saves men and women. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And the pastor must believe that, and believe that just proclaiming the word, offering Christ, that is sufficient for the salvation of men and women. So your pastors are going to have a confidence in the word as they teach, as they demonstrate that they can be confident on the word to save sinners, but also to sanctify sinners. Christ says that sanctify them by your truth. That's his prayer to his father. Sanctify them by the truth. And your pastors must have confidence that as the word is proclaimed, that it is making people more and more holy, more Christ-like, more godly in their living. The pastor must have confidence that as he preaches the word, that that is what takes place in the lives of his people. And then he must be confident in the word, not only to save and to sanctify, but to sustain. The one thing that Dr. Thompson and Scott know, that I know, that every preacher in this congregation knows, that every time we preach, anywhere in the world, we're preaching to suffering men and women whose lives have been broken by sin, shattered by disappointment. They're hurting because relationships haven't worked out the way they hoped they would. They're struggling through illnesses for which there's no cure. And how many people have come to find confidence that the word that their pastor preaches will sustain them in times of trouble? I don't know how many sermons I've delivered at funerals. I have no idea. But more than once in my ministry, as a matter of fact, several times, when people after the funeral service was completed came up to me, and they really said nothing about the sermon. They said, what gave us so much hope was all the scripture you read during the service. You see, by God's design, the scriptures, the word, sustains men and women in their afflictions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what a grand occasion this is. God has, because he loved you, given you a wonderful pastor. Because he loves you, he's given you another wonderful pastor to come alongside and to serve with him. And I know that they already know what I've been talking about. But you must know this too. You must know what the pastor must preach. He must preach the word. You must know when the pastor must preach, in season and out of season. And your pastors and you must know how to preach, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting. May God richly bless this congregation as soon you're going to enter into a third century of proclaiming the word of God in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And as a longtime admirer of your pastor, and for the past 4 years, this young pastor, you're well positioned to glorify God, proclaiming his word as you begin your third century of proclaiming Christ to Tuscumbia. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we rejoice in your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light under our path. We with David want to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We want to be able to say with the confidence of Jesus that scripture cannot be broken. And we pray that from this pulpit, your word will continue to go forth with power, that there will be conversions, men and women growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, finding hope in him in times of trouble. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you'll give to this congregation that spirit of prayer that as their pastors proclaim the word, they might be before your throne of grace, asking that you grant it success, that men and women, boys and girls, might come to know with this congregation the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.